Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good day. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. This is the third week of August.
Yep.
Let me see. We are approximately 2 weeks away from your mom's birthday.
And approximately 3 weeks from mine.
3 weeks from yours.
Yeah, that's what I said. Three weeks from mine. Yeah.
And 2.5 weeks away from the East Carolina NC State football matchup.
I thought you were going to say massacre. I thought, wow, that's very bold of you to make that claim on the air.
I think not. As you know, I'm a hardcore State fan, but I...
You're worried.
Well, East Carolina hates us. They hate us more than we hate them.
Well, they've got more on the line than State does.
We have nothing on the line except our being embarrassed. And you come to Dowdy Ficklin, that's worth 10 points right there.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway... I'm trying to think. I'm not going to rant and rave today. I was so outdone myself last week.
We really, really laid it on last week, and
I'm sick of politicians.
I would like to apologize, not for the information that we gave or our passion for it, but maybe some of the things we said.
I'm not apologizing for anything I said. George,
well,
didn't apologize. For
well, I may have gone. I may have. Had a few outbursts that were a little bit over, may have been a bit too much.
The censor probably had to kick in a little bit for you there.
Yeah. But
one more comment. You realize that a very low percentage, but one of the potential Democrat presidential nominees is our very own Roy Cooper. Look at the straw polls. He's always listed.
I'd really rather not.
Well, because he is a lockstep Democrat. He doesn't think for himself. He just so the Democrat Party tells him to do so. They like him. He was described as a popular governor of the Republican of North Carolina. I'm like, nobody likes Roy Cooper.
Nobody likes Roy Cooper.
Roy Cooper's dog doesn't even like Roy Cooper. Anyway. My name is Tommy Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
And I'm George Pate. I'm a financial advisor with the Journeys Group.
Would you like to introduce us? I forgot you got your voice back.
Yes, I do. Excuse me. We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden, North Carolina, which is right outside of Greenville, North Carolina. Our phone number is 252-746-6785. Again, that's 252-746-6785. Or you can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that we are regularly rotating on it. It has our contact information as well as our physical location. It has a place if you have a question or want to set up an appointment with us. There's a little form you fill out with your information and we will be in touch. It has links to our Facebook, our Instagram, and our YouTube channel. It has a page for upcoming events. And our next one is September the 6th at 6 o'clock p.m. That is our halftime report webinar on Zoom, where we just kind of review the first half of the year. So I'd encourage y'all to check that out. It will not be quite as pleasant as last year, but it will be very, very informative.
What we predicted in January has come to pass.
Yeah, it's all pretty accurate. It's a very, very fact-filled webinar.
None of our opinions.
No, there's no opinions. It's nothing but straight economic data, and I almost said DAX and FATA. Data and facts. Statistics, graphs. If you're big into numbers, encourage you to come join us. Check that out. But again, that is September the 6th at 6 o'clock. There is a link on our website and on our Facebook page to register for that. And then last but not least, it has the podcast, Taking Care of Business. I think we're on like 19 different places. So there's a page there that will take you to a launch page with all 19 platforms. And you can listen to past shows as well as any upcoming shows. So I think that's everything. What are we talking about today?
We're going to do two different things. Today we're going to talk about
financial planning. We're talking about financial planning today.
Yeah, we're talking about different generations very briefly. We have a email weekly thingamabob.
When I'm talking about those financial articles, this is the kind of thing that kind of goes out over email.
And the one we had back in July was fascinating to me. It took the generations and compared their financial viewpoints. I'm just going to hit this real quick. 1910 to 1927, the greatest generation. These are the people that were born in this era that stormed the beaches of Normandy. Frugal savers. This generation grew up learning to save pennies and to fix things before buying something new. They taught us how to save. By far, no one has been a better saving generation than probably they have.
Do you think it was because they were adults during the Depression?
No, they weren't adults during the Depression. 1910 to 1927, the Depression's in the 30s. Well, they could have been in the early 20s, I guess.
Well, you mean they were born between 1910 and 1920s. Okay, yeah. That's what I mean, is that some of them were, a lot of them were adults during the Depression.
Well, I think that was just the way things were back then, too.
Yeah.
All right, 1928 to 1945, the silent generation. These are the cautious spenders. Now, this was a time of great prosperity. But they saved as much as possible and emerged with substantial savings to fund their retirement years. Mine is the next generation, 1946 to 1964. I was born in 1959. The baby boomers. And they are the first generation to embrace credit spending. We were the first ones to go, buy now, pay later.
I did not know that.
I did not know either, but it explains why everybody's broke. 1965 to 1980 is the Gen X, the in-betweeners. They grew up in two-income households and have struggled financially to rein in their spending habits, with many holding significant credit card debt and a penchant for riskier investments. And from a professional perspective, I would have to say that is absolutely true.
1965 to when?
1980.
Okay.
I would have to say that's true. The people we work with that tend to have the most savings, the most preparation for retirement, are people born in the mid to late 50s, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. 1981 to 1986, this is you, millennials. Financially conservative, they struggled to find work in their early 20s, and they're living through turbulent economic times. Has made millennials disciplined in saving money and financially conservative investors, and I could not disagree more with that.
Yeah.
You're pretty conservative, but it's because you're a financial planner.
Well, not with my investments, but with the way I save money. But again, a lot of that has to do with what I do for a living.
Well, you saw your broke daddy, too.
I really have to disagree. I think you could lump millennial, Gen Y, and Gen Z into the same category, to be honest with you, in terms of how we look at money. And I think two words sum it up perfectly: instant gratification. People that are my age that are growing up right now have no concept of wait until you can afford something, or looking down the road. And they think, well, somebody else is going to take care of it for me. I don't think we're great savers, just because we want stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think that's probably the biggest thing. I'm curious to know what the Gen Zers are described as.
1997, 2009, Gen Zers are described as pragmatic savers.
I disagree with that, too.
Compared to their predecessors, Gen Zers are saving more and saving earlier. They are highly entrepreneurial.
I agree with that.
77% are doing freelance work, and 35% of Gen Z already own part or their own businesses.
I do agree with that.
I don't know about the saving earlier, though.
I don't agree with the saving, but I do agree with the entrepreneurial spirit. I think the dawn of the internet has a lot to do with that. There's a lot of digital businesses that people can build, and you see a lot more people going out and doing, as you said, freelance stuff or starting their own business because for whatever reason, they have seen big name people on social media, YouTube, whatever, do it. And they say, I want to give that a shot. And so it's kind of become a trend to start your own business, whether it be a marketing firm or some sort of digital employment or something. I do agree with that. And it's a very interesting trend to see.
The last generation, 2010 to 2025.
Yeah, what do you even call that?
Generation Alpha. Technologically advanced. Immersed in technology rather than tech users, experts predict this generation will be the most educated and technologically savvy. with money attitudes profoundly shaped by recent economic challenges, financial basics, the difference between needs and want, and the satisfaction which comes with savings. I agree with about 10% of that.
I don't agree with any of that.
The ones we see are, they have no clue what the real world's like. They're so busy with their iPhones and they don't know. Yes, they're much more technologically savvy.
But that doesn't equate to good savers.
But their money attitudes are non-existent because it's almost like they live in the tech world, which is I think the one generation we got coming out now is going to be hard pressed.
And again, a lot of it is the attitude of the world's in trouble. Somebody else isn't going to take care of me.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
All right. Second part today is when we talk about financial planning and finances in general. There are four things, financially speaking, that I don't worry about. I don't even
think about
it. I don't even process them. Number one, I don't worry, and this is going to sound crazy in today's environment, I don't worry about the stock market performance because I know that the market is going to do what the market is going to do. It's going to do 6 to 8% year in and year out on average. It's going to, do what it's supposed to do. And so if you have an appropriate portfolio based on your age, if you have, some guarantees built in, then it's not a big deal. So I don't worry about the stock market, at all. Now you're younger than I am. Your comments on that.
Well, to worry about the stock market implies that I can do anything to influence the stock market, and I can't. Am I aware of the stock market performance? Yes. I'm to not worry is to not say that we are not aware of the performance, but I don't, now, granted, I have a much different outlook on the stock market right now than you do because I've got 40 years to I'm air quoting now, to worry about the stock market. So,
but see, I agree with that, but okay, I'm 62, you're 26. All right, I've got, 15 years of life left, maybe 20, something like that?
Yeah, we'll say 20.
Okay. I ain't worried about the stock market those next 20 years, not because I'm wealthy. But because the market is
going
to average what it's supposed to average.
Yeah, and there's nothing I can do to influence it to make it do anything different. It's going to do what it's going to do.
And my portfolio is set up to take advantage of it and to shield me from it at the same time. I don't go day to day what the stock market's going to do.
Yeah.
If you're that worried about the stock market, you're in the wrong stuff, Bubba.
Yeah, if you're watching it every day because you're worried about it, you need to switch some things around. But it's our investment philosophies are different, but the way that we watch the market, so to speak, excuse me, is the same. Now, we look at it because of what we do for a living, but personally, not really. I mean, I look at my stuff about once a month. And some people would say you really only need to look at it once a quarter. Okay. It doesn't really matter, but I look at my stuff about once a month, really more out of curiosity than anything else, because at this stage in life, it doesn't really matter what's happening with it. Because again, I got 40 years to let this stuff grow. I don't really care what it's doing right now. But again, it's more for my curiosity, but again, I'm not worried about, what did my investments do this month? I don't really care about that because the market's going to do what it's going to do. My only job is to just consistently put money in.
And the bottom line is, and we've said this 1,000 times, ad nauseum, as George likes to say, if you are working with a financial planner and you have a financial plan drawn up, then the stock market is going to be part of it.
Should be part of
contrary
it.
Contrary to some of those shows in more Raleigh anywhere else that say nothing but annuities, but the stock market's going to be part of it. And your planner, hopefully, will take into account the ups and downs of the market. It's a fairly predictable beast over your lifetime.
Yep. You gotta play when we talk about the market, you gotta play the long game. And the long game is 10 plus years. I would argue 15 plus years.
Wiz might come in yesterday. You were out sick.
But yes.
that's sold some property. He's got $100,000 he wants to do something with, in his words. And he said, but I'm probably going to need this money back probably the first part of next year. And I said, then leave it in the bank.
Just leave it in the bank.
Because I can't promise anything good, bad, or indifferent in the stock market over 6 months.
If we were having a killer year in the stock market, we would still say leave it in the bank, because we just don't know what's going to happen, because it's going to do what it's going to do.
The market's a long-term beast.
It is. It is. It is a random, unpredictable, long-term beast.
But it does its job. I trust it.
Nothing does its job better than the market.
Yep.
Oh, again, over the long haul. I cannot stress that enough. Over the long haul.
All right. You know what else I don't worry about? I don't worry about the latest hype. I didn't worry about gold and silver.
Did you worry about Bitcoin?
I didn't worry about Bitcoins or cryptocurrency. You're too young, but I didn't worry about people were buying Iraqi dollars years back, Iranian dollars years back. All this latest hype, I don't worry about, because by the time you know about it, it's too late.
The whole world knows about it, and everybody's already jumped on the hype.
Yeah, so I don't even look at. I mean, when people say, you think I ought to buy gold and silver, I just go, no, not let's just want it to have it, not for, you know.
Not for an investment.
I don't worry about impending economic disaster like we're in right now, for the simple reason that there is no place that I know of that a normal human being can go and get the news that is not skewed left or right.
Yep.
And remember that, shock is what sells news. And so, you know, we had a show last week over that Inflation Reduction Act. I said that without laughing, which is an absolute piece of crap legislation.
Well, you just said legislation. So,
yeah. Am I outraged about it? Yep. Do I worry about it? Nope. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
When I pick up the paper, I saw a really interesting article in 1996 that predicted by 1998, I mean, by 2008. If we didn't stop global warming, mankind would be beginning the extinction process. I don't worry about the latest economic disaster, because most of the time it's hype.
And again, there's nothing you can do to stop it anyway. I think that's really what all this comes down to, is we can't affect this stuff anyway. So why worry about it? I mean, okay, inflation is, we've got a recession coming. All right. Well, when this stuff first started coming out, we've got a recession on the rise. It's going to happen. As we've talked about, recessions and inflation are a normal part of a healthy economic cycle. Now, what we're in right now is obviously exacerbated, but there's no need to worry about it, because it's going to happen anyway.
And if you've had an appropriate financial plan drawn up for you,
it's factored
into
stuff.
It takes into account recession.
Yeah.
It takes into account inflation. Maybe not as bad as this goober's got us going, but you know.
Yeah, an economy is going to do what it's. An economy is again a living, breathing beast. Now, not quite as random as the stock market, because we have some tools we can use to control it, but we know to a certain degree of confidence how an economy is going to act, how an economy is going to perform, how it's going to evolve over time. So it's going to do what it's going to do. So why would I worry about it? The best thing I can do, like you said, is have a financial plan that takes into account the good, the bad, the ugly, anything. And then just let the plan do what it's going to do.
Well, and remember that everything we talked about so far, market performance, latest hype, pending economic disaster, everything we talked about is trying to encourage you to make changes. When you make changes, you spend money. When you spend money, people like George and I make money. It's not to your benefit.
Yeah, it's great for us.
Yeah.
But
you know the fourth thing I'm not worried about?
What's that?
Eternity. You know why I'm not worried about eternity?
Why is that?
Why do you think? I usually pontificate. You pontificate on this.
Well, again, eternity is not really something I have a whole lot of control over, but I know where I'm going.
And elaborate.
Well, excuse me. Still working on my vocal cords. I've got the universe's creator in my corner backing me. He's promised me a home and salvation. So why would I worry about anything? Because I know where I'm going.
So essentially, at some point in your life, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
I did.
And so
I don't really worry.
So you're holding four aces in the final end game.
Yeah, I would say the other three things matter even less because I don't worry about eternity. Yeah. I've got four aces in my hand, and I've got the dealer on my side.
Yeah, the dealer's throwing you some aces if you need it.
Yeah, the dealer will give me an ace if I need it. Well, so
here's what's cool, what we're talking about today, folks, is that if you've got an appropriate financial plan, market performance, the latest hype, the impending economic disaster, you ain't got to worry about. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, then you ain't got to worry about eternity. So we've taken care of the past, the present, and the future.
So why are you going to worry about this
stuff?
Don't
get much better than that.
Yeah. And again, I would argue that because I know Jesus, that, all right, I don't worry about eternity. So if I don't worry about eternity, the rest of time, why should I worry about the current market performance, the current market hype, impending economic disasters? All right, that stuff is fleeting. Why would I worry about any of that if I ain't worried about the rest of eternity? To me, that is much easier said than done. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here on a pedestal and say I don't worry about anything, because that's just a bold-faced lie. I worry about lots of stuff. You can ask him; it drives him insane. My mom says I got it from her because she didn't worry anymore. But anyway, I'm a worrier by nature, but I don't worry about eternity because I know where I'm going. Me and Jesus, we had a little, we've talked, and I know where I'm going, which is kind of a neat thing. So,
yeah. And so as George pointed out, very clearly, you did a better job than I would have.
Thank you.
If eternity's taken care of,
why should I worry about anything else?
Then I'm going to do the best I can what I got down here. So when I get, and for those of you that are throwing rocks at me in my glass house right now, let me go ahead and tell you right now, the fact that I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I'm a good person. It means
we try to be good people, yeah.
So would Jesus have approved of my ranting and raving last week? No.
Would he have approved of me calling the people in Washington, D.C. idiots and morons? Probably not. No, but
I'm fully aware of that fact. That's why I say I like the slogan, Christians aren't perfect, but we are forgiven.
Yeah, I like to say I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm not there yet.
No, not even close. Not just you, me. I mean, well, you too. But here's our point, folks. If you have got a good financial plan, it's going to adjust itself for things you can't control. Stock market, inflation, economic disasters, I'm air quoting.
Hype.
Latest hype.
Yeah.
It's going to take care of all that. Now, if you have a financial plan, if you're just buying stocks from somebody, no, it ain't there. So you've got your earthly life taken care of, so to speak. Eternity's a piece of cake to take care of. Just get on your knees and ask Christ for forgiveness and accept him. So how hard can the rest of this be? Now, George said, you're going to fret and worry. I mean, like, things I do worry about, I worry about interest rates going up. I worry about inflation. I worry about bad liquidity. I worry about people not using the time value of money. I worry about and fight instant gratification. See it, want it, buy it. Oops, probably shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
And I worry about debt.
Because those are all things you can control.
One would think so.
Well, okay. Those are all things you have the capacity and the ability to directly control and influence.
Yep. So, how do you control interest rates? Don't worry about it. Pay your debt off.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
How do you control liquidity? Save money.
And put more money in your pocket.
You can't do anything about inflation, but if you've got sufficient funds, inflation is more of a pain to tell you. Not using time value money.
Save money.
That's just dumb.
Yeah, just save money.
An instant gratification, walk
away. Just don't buy
away.
It. Don't buy it.
But no, if you, all kidding aside, if you have sat down and you've got a good financial plan, then everything is taken into account. I mean, you market performance, good, bad, or indifferent. People will call us and just freaking, and I'm like, it's okay. It's all good. We actually knew at some point this is going to happen. It's been factored in. Will I be able to retire? Yeah, no problem at all. And they're like, okay, I just thought we were losing everything. No. All right, stop reading newspapers, by the way.
There's something about us just saying, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. Why didn't we do anything? We did. We went ahead, and that's why we put you in the portfolio we did.
Oh, yeah, your financial plan is accommodating this.
And you can almost feel the you can almost feel the people taking a deep breath over the phone, and that's where when they hear, okay, yeah, we knew this was going to happen, and we factored it in before it even happened. Oh, well, okay, and it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. So I mean, like when you're standing in line at the grocery store and you're reading those little magazines.
Please don't.
Economic convergence of collapse. World War III beginning. You know, your best be figuring out how am I going to use this chocolate to make chocolate pie with tonight.
There you go. Yep. If you got questions about this, if you need a plan, or if you want to take a look at your current plan, give us a call 252-746-6785. We'd love to sit down with you, get a chance to know you, and see how we can help you, because we want to help you not worry about this stuff, because there's no need to. Well, I hear the music in my ears, so I guess we better head on out. I appreciate you letting us spend some time with you today. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to chatting with you next week. This is George Pate.
And this is Tommy Pate. Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.